It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled on a Friday evening. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell on the East Coast, welcoming his first grandbaby into the world. And so Scott made the trip out, and congratulations to him and his daughter and her husband. That's first baby for them, first grandchild for Scott Mitchell. So we're excited for old Scotty. Joining us on the program right now, he's his partner in crime on the radio when it comes to calling those Utah games. The voice of the Utah Utes, Bill Riley, joining us on the program. What's going on, Bill?
Do you guys miss Grandpa Mitchell yet?
I've been trying to, like, hassle him about it, and he's like, that's one title that I will never be ashamed of. He's like,
yeah, he
I'm
was
so
all,
excited.
He texted me yesterday, and he was like, I'm going to be a grandpa.
Yeah.
He was all fired up.
The picture's rolling in, and it's like the first time he's ever seen a baby before. But so Mitch Harper, of course, I don't know if you're familiar with Mitch. Bill, maybe this is a great time for you guys to get acquainted this segment. It might be nice.
Is that Mitch, Laker fan, Raider fan, Harper?
It's not going well for those teams. I've checked out on the NBA playoffs. I'm struggling to watch the Sixers Hawks game. It's like it just doesn't feel right without the Lakers. We need the big markets, right? Isn't that what we all need?
No, we do not. Is your Anthony Davis jersey, is it okay, or is it, you know, is it on the sideline? Is it hung up? Is it torn? I'm just curious.
I'm ride or die. Ride or die with AD.
Okay, so he's very loyal. Very loyal to the Lakers. That's always good.
I'm just counting down to Space Jam at this point. That's what
that's all you have to look forward to, Space Jam, with some of your guys. That's the only starring role these guys are going to have this summer. All right, Bill, of course, the news this week in college football has been the movement on the front of what the college football playoff landscape could look like. We've always wanted an expansion, and the reports are now they're at least going to discuss that 12-team possibility. I'm sure they're going to discuss other things, but that has come up, and that's the one that looks like people could really see on the plate. And it just, to me, I don't see any negative to this. Right off the bat, before we get into the impact on the Pac-12, I'm trying to find any sort of drawback, what it would be to have an expanded playoff.
Well, I don't see one, Alex. I mean, I've been expand the playoff proponent forever. I had always thought 8, and I hadn't even really given much thought to 12. And then when it popped up, you know, a month or so ago, I thought about it, and I don't know how more college football is a bad thing. And by the way, it's 12. Let's not kid ourselves. They're just crossing the T's and dotting the I's on this thing. If they're floating 12 out there,
right,
that was a trial balloon. They were trying to see what the feedback would be, and I think 90% of it was positive. You're always going to have that 10% of people that don't want it to change. Hell, there's probably still people that want the UPI and the AP to decide our national champion. But I'm with you. I don't think there's a downside. I think it's inclusive. I think it creates more buzz. I think you're going to get meaningful games in November as people jockey for playoff position. They may not be winning their conference championship, but you're going to be jockeying to, you know, get into position to be in the playoff. I think in some cases it could cause schools to schedule up a little bit, to beef their schedule up a little bit, to maybe delineate, to differentiate themselves from some other teams later in the season. So. And there's a path now for the BYUs and the G5s of the world. You know, if you have a good year and you have a year, say, like Cincinnati had last year or BYU had for most of the year last year,
Coastal,
or, you know, Coastal Carolina, you've got a chance to be a playoff team because you just have to basically fall, what are we going to say, somewhere within the top 12 to 14, and you're in good shape.
Bill, you know, the Pac-12 Conference has had an issue with its image. At least the national narrative out there has been negative with the Pac-12 Conference. What do you feel this does, having an expanded playoff, what does it do for the conference long term?
Well, I mean, it's going to help the conference because clearly the conference will have at least one team representing. Yep. You know, and in good years, they'll have a couple of teams in there. Hell, the SEC can probably get three or four in some years, which, by the way, I don't have any problem with. I want the best football teams out there. You know, I always was one of those Power Fives plus the top G5 team. But the more I think about it, I like what they've done. I like having the top six ranked conference champions. I like that. Hey, if you're a conference champion in the Big 12 or the Pac-12 or the ACC and you're not among the top six, well, shame on you. You don't deserve to get that automatic bid. But as far as the Pac-12 goes, I think it helps. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. I don't know how much this changes the ultimate narrative, at least in the short term, because Alabama's still going to be really good and Clemson's still going to be really good. But the good news about football is, you know, Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State have basically had a month to heal up between their championship game and the Final Four. Well, you got to jump right back in it now. And we know, guys, football's a violent sport. So your quarterback, your Trevor Lawrence, your Justin Fields, your Mac Jones doesn't have a month to heal up those busted ribs. He's going to have to play football in a week or two right afterwards. So I think we'll see some upsets, and that could allow a Pac-12 team to go a little bit deeper or a favorite like a Bama or an Ohio State to get knocked off early.
And I think one of the things, too, Bill, that could help the Pac-12 potentially, I'm curious to get your thoughts, is that keeping recruits in the Western region. I mean, you look at all these quarterbacks, they're going to the SEC, like Bryce Young's at Alabama and DJ Uiagalelei, he's at Clemson. It's just like this, I feel like, can help the Pac-12 keep their talent at home, which is going to help Utah, probably help USC, and maybe make a more powerful conference, I would like to think.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you're right, Mitch. I think those guys have gone east because they want a chance to play for a national championship. And you might win a conference championship at USC or Washington or Oregon, but nobody sniffed it outside of Oregon and Washington. They're the only two playoff teams we've seen. So I think you're right. I think that might hedge it. I think really what will ultimately hedge it, and this is always the case in recruiting, is teams doing well. You know, if you're Utah and you make the playoffs 2 out of 5 years or 2 out of 4 years, people all of a sudden are going to be taking notice. If you're USC and doing the same thing, you know, all of a sudden maybe a couple of those five-star kids that are from L.A. that were going to Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State, those guys might stay home now because they're like, wow, we always wanted to go to USC, but we always wanted to play on the biggest stage. Now we can do both.
Guys like Mitch Harper, by the way, Bill, who's like, I love all the bowl games. Give me my Poulan Weed Eater Bowl, and I'll be set on a December 17th evening. I can't stand those bowls that are throwaways. It makes bowls more important. At least you'll have this group of bowls that are going to be part of these playoffs, I think, that will be massively important. But I do think the structure of bowl games going forward is going to have to change if you've got a playoff like this, don't you think?
Well, I agree, and let's be fair. I mean, outside of Mitch's obsession with bizarre bowls like the Bahamas and Poulan and Boca Raton, I mean, most of us don't care. I mean, back when we were kids, there were 20 bowl games, not 40 bowl games, and bowl games meant a little bit more. I think we can – I still think it's good to have some bowl games, but now you can incorporate some of them in the playoff. And I'll be honest, too, I like the idea of playing the opening round games on campuses. I think that's really cool. I think it's a great reward for a season. Can you imagine, let's just say for a second, that Utah gets in a 7-10 matchup, gets to host Florida State in mid-December at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
Yeah.
And those guys that never leave the South have to come up and play on a frigid evening in Salt Lake City. How cool would that
be? That'd be amazing.
Winter go-home setting in college football, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, and I think that, like, we've gotten used to the way that, you know, these bids are done. Like, you know, if there's going to be those six at-large bids, there's going to be hurt feelings of teams that should and shouldn't have gotten in, all those things. And we're okay with that in college basketball because we go, yep, it's part of the process. The human error part, I'm okay with because ranking all these teams is going to be near impossible to not upset somebody. But I don't care. It will just be so much better football to watch. So much. It would just be interesting. I just worry about those biology tests, Bill. They're going to be missing. I'm really torn up about it. I just can't believe
all
that's
those biology
an argument.
Tests and you know those poor kids. They can't play those extra games. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. 1AA, Division II, yes. Division III, NAIA, all those kids play a 16-team playoff.
Right. Basketball lasts 5.5 months. Bill Riley, he's the voice of the Utes, and breaking down what that college football expansion would look like for the Pac-12 and for those Utah Utes. Bill, thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man, on a Friday, carving some time out and filling in for Scott, the new grandpa. You're not a grandpa, are you, Bill?
No. Bite your tongue. No. No. Are you Alex?
No, absolutely not. No. My heavens. All right.
I want to be one someday. Yeah. That day is not today.
Yeah. All right. Bill, we appreciate it. Have a great Friday evening and a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
See you guys.
Taking the break here. We'll come back. We've got news, traffic, and weather. The 76ers look like they're running away with this one in Atlanta, up by 15 right now over the Hawks in the third quarter with 2 minutes left. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled and KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.